News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. Another week. It's just about in the can. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. If it's been in our news coverage, it will come up on Our Take in a more extended fashion. We take a little more time to have conversations with the folks who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. Coming up on today's program, we have multiple guests. We'll talk with Congressman Fred Upton in the next segment about a few different issues going on in Washington that he's been working on. We'll get updates on DACA as well as school safety legislation. He'll tell us about some legislation approved by the House to crack down on human trafficking. We'll learn about that on today's Our Take. And we'll learn about what the Allegan County Sheriff's Department is doing to improve school safety. They announced a fairly original and ambitious kind of plan yesterday. We'll learn about that. And finally, because it's Friday, our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, will come in here. He and I will talk about movies, the new movies available at the box office. There are several new options for you to peruse at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this weekend. We'll learn about that on the final segment of today's program. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around and we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Friday edition of the program. Thanks for tuning in. I thought for this segment we would catch up with our man in Washington, Congressman Fred Upton. I had a chance to chat with him this week about a few different issues that are ongoing in Washington. We get some updates on a few things that we've talked about here on Our Take. So it's Congressman Fred Upton. Let's hear what he had to tell me about what's happening this week in Washington. All right, we're talking to Congressman Fred Upton of St. Joseph. Now, you've put out statements in the past week about a few different things. First of all, now you've been named to a special committee that's investigating school safety. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I am. I'm in Problem Solvers, which is a bipartisan group, equal number, about 50 members, and I'm heading a task force with my Democratic colleague, Debbie Dingell from Michigan. We've had a couple of meetings already. We're prepared to talk to the entire group Wednesday this week, talk about a number of different ideas that we think we can pursue on a bipartisan basis after listening to law enforcement, school officials, students, pastors, parents, et cetera. It's an issue that certainly is not going to go away, and I think that there are a number of things that we can do to try and prevent this school violence. I know next week, we're expecting a major school safety funding bill to be on the House floor, where I expect it to pass with pretty good bipartisan support. Mm-hmm. So everything's been on the table, and we'll see where it takes us in the next number of days.
All right. So this bill next week, was that a routine funding bill that just happens to be coming up?
No, this is in direct response to what happened in Parkland. It's a bill offered by a colleague that's a former sheriff. It is bipartisan. It's school safety. It's going to have a number of different things when it's ready to get to the House floor next week, but we're expecting it to come, and it's actually been an issue that our Problem Solvers bipartisan group has been talking about over the last 7 to 10 days.
So what are some of the things we could see in there?
Well, it'll include assistance for hardening the schools, direct outreach probably to law enforcement, a number of things that I think no one really has a quibble with, and will allow schools that particularly haven't taken a look at school safety to be able to try and catch up pretty fast. So I'm anticipating that the administration will support it, and it's likely to come up on the House floor without amendment, but it requires a two-thirds vote, so therefore it cannot pass without strong bipartisan support.
Okay, so this legislation next week will likely not have anything related to guns in it?
I don't think guns will be a part of it. This is more a school safety, protection of our school buildings itself.
Okay.
Bulletproof glass, outreach communication-wise to local law enforcement. maybe some school law enforcement personnel to be in the schools themselves. So it's not definite yet, but it's a framework of a bill, and I expect to get more details as the week unfolds.
All right, so we'll be watching for that as next week starts off. Now, also in the past week, you put out a statement about some legislation that's been passed by the House regarding human trafficking.
Well, this is an effort. Sex trafficking is an issue worldwide, and unfortunately, we've discovered there's many venues for this to happen. One of them, of course, is online, and so we are... without some type of monitoring, we are now going to be sanctioning some of the providers of the online services that, if in fact they're a participant in helping with sex predators, that there's going to be recourse legally for folks to be able to go after them. And it's now, I believe, passed both the House and the Senate. And, it ought to be yet another tool in the toolbox to stop this horrid sex trafficking trade.
Right. Now, I know there was some concern about this bill. What it does is it creates penalties for websites that have people passing along human trafficking, sex trafficking information on them. But there were concerns that it now holds sites liable for what all the users do. I mean, someone says something on Facebook, you don't want to blame Facebook.
No, but if it can be learned that, in fact, they're a participant in allowing this to happen and are aware of some of the messages that are on there, they ought to have some responsibility to be able to turn it off. And that's what we're asking for, so that folks can stop hiding behind some of these corporate giants, particularly on something that most would find is highly intolerable.
Right, right. All right, so this bill states, you know, websites have to at least moderate themselves, watch out for illegal activity, and this did pass the House by a pretty substantial margin. What happens now?
Overwhelming, and as I understand, I think the Senate now is taking it up as well. So it sends a strong message that, you know, some of these corporate citizens need to be very responsible for some of the content that they have out there. So it was went through the committee process. There was a lively debate on the House floor, and it passed with a very overwhelming bipartisan support.
All right. Another thing that we've talked about a few different times is the DACA replacement, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, young individuals brought into the country illegally. Congress has been trying to come up with a replacement plan. Has anything been happening on that front since we last spoke?
Well, it seems like it is taking a back burner, which is most unfortunate. As we know, the Senate failed in its effort to pass an immigration reform bill using DACA. The DACA kids is a main stimulant to get something done. They failed to get 60 votes on any of the proposals that were out there. The judges, of course, federal judges, ruled that the deadline was not going to be necessarily met in terms of what the president indicated. So the pressure is off in terms of finding a solution. I'm hoping that we can come back to it very soon, but don't really know, particularly after the Senate failed to pass an alternative to fix the immigration issue. So in the meantime, the effort has gone, obviously, to school safety. We also have the fiscal year 18 has got to be finished by March 23rd, and we're looking forward to having that legislation on the House floor as early as next week. Mm-hmm. So the immigration reform has been pushed back, but hopefully not for too long.
Okay. In the meantime, are those DACA kids, are they in danger of being deported?
No, it's my understanding that the federal judge's ruling still allows the DACA kids to be here and not be deported at what was anticipated originally to be as many as 1,000 a day. So I've not heard otherwise. So at the moment, it seems like things are stable. But ultimately, let's face it, immigration is broken. It needs to be fixed. And I'm all for using DACA to be, you know, certainly to be fixed with a number of other elements as well, including border security.
We're talking to Congressman Fred Upton. Finally, I wanted to ask you, have you had a chance to review the flood damage here in Berrien County?
I did. So as I was back in Michigan this last week, I looked at flood damage with our Sheriff Bailey in Berrien and Sheriff Fuller in Kalamazoo. spent a number of hours talking to small business folks, as well as obviously residents, emergency personnel. We had some great volunteers from Andrews University who are helping out in Berrien Springs. You know, as one that grew up here in Berrien County, I've never seen the flooding as bad as it was these last 2 weeks. So we're talking to the governor. We're trying to make sure that the proper assessments are being made in terms of the damages. And thank goodness the river seems to be getting back into its banks, even though it's slower than what we were anticipating.
All right, so if the governor...
It was quite enlightening. Traveling, going on flooded roads, talking to residents. For many of them, their water heaters and furnaces were you know, destroyed because they were in sub-basements. A lot of drywall being pulled out. There's nothing worse for a house than water damage. And you know, this, you know, even the horse that was rescued here in Berrien was something else as I looked at the video.
Right, right. Well, you know, I've lived in Michigan my whole life. I've never seen a situation like that. So if the governor approves the disaster declaration for Berrien County, would you be in favor of it if it reaches the federal level?
Yes. So if the state is able to declare this a disaster, there's certain thresholds, a number of residences, small businesses, etc. They can declare a state declaration, which it'll be forwarded on then to the federal side, FEMA. And FEMA will look and justify if there is some assistance. Most of the assistance on the federal level would be to communities. So over time, damages to roads and bridges, really no allowances for individuals, as flood insurance and other insurance is supposed to take the bulk of that. The federal assistance really goes to communities, and again, that threshold is first determined by the state.
Okay, that was Congressman Fred Upton talking with us earlier this week about a few different issues. He's disappointed that the DACA situation is just not getting resolved. He'd be in favor of a disaster declaration for areas affected by floods in Berrien County. He told us about this plan that the House approved to prevent sex trafficking on the internet. There have been criticisms of that. It makes websites potentially liable in situations where just some user does something they're not supposed to be doing. But Fred says they need to moderate themselves. And we also got an update on school safety. He's part of a committee, part of a task force created by the Congressional Problem Solvers bipartisan group looking at school safety. He thinks there could be legislation soon to improve safety in our schools. I appreciate Congressman Fred Upton's time for Our Take. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and we'll take a break right now. When we come back, we will chat with the United Way of Southwest Michigan about a book drive they've got going on right now, and we will hear from Kinexus about a job fair they have planned at Lake Michigan College coming up soon. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. Right now, I thought I would give you an update on the Berrien County Youth Fair. This morning, details of this year's Youth Fair lineup were released. And we caught up with Berrien County Youth Fair board member Kayla Hoover to find out about things planned for this year's event. The Youth Fair, of course, will be held in Berrien Springs in August. And the big headliner, the big musical guest this year, will be playing on Wednesday, August 15th. It will be country duo Low Cash. Kayla Hoover with the Fair Board of Directors told us a bit about the work they've been doing to get ready for this year's fair.
Monday is pretty traditional, pretty straightforward. We've got the Super Farm Tractor two-wheel drive truck and four-wheel drive diesel truck pull. So basically truck and tractor pull on Monday night.
So that's Monday night of the fair. And then on Tuesday, they'll have a kids' day, free admission for the kids, and they'll also have Circus Continental.
The Circus Continental has been around for quite some time. They have a live band, aerial acts, Pease Axe, Animal Axe, High Wire. They have a Ringmaster. The Ringmaster has been around with Circus Continental since I was a kid.
So that's the big Kids Day, which is Tuesday. Now, as mentioned, the musical guest at this year's Berrien County Youth Fair will be country duo Low Cash. Fair board member Kayla Hoover told us a little more about them.
We will be having Low Cash in the house at 7 o'clock. This group of guys, there's two of them. They're a good group. They were nominated for CMA Awards this year, CMT Music Awards.
Sounds like a hot ticket. That's this August Berrien County Youth Fair. They'll have two nights of Demolition Derby. Bull Mania will close it all out on Saturday, August 18th. You can get all the information you need on this year's Berrien County Youth Fair at bcyf.org. Tickets will go on sale in less than a month. That'll be on Wednesday, April 4th. You can start to get tickets for the Youth Fair. I know I'll be down there at least one day come August, and you should arrange to make sure that you can get down there as well. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and right now I thought we'd chat with State Representative Mary Whiteford. She's a Republican from Casco Township, which is by South Haven. She represents part of Allegan County. And yesterday, an announcement was made by the Allegan County Sheriff's Department regarding school safety. This is a fairly innovative program that Sheriff Frank Baker announced. He's going to have sheriff's deputies patrolling high schools. The Allegan County Sheriff announced yesterday it'll be sort of part of the regular duties of sheriff's deputies to stop by high schools, stop by schools all over Allegan County, and may just make their presence known. They may even do some administrative work from schools rather than at the sheriff's department. Some school districts have even offered the sheriff's department some room inside their buildings so the deputies can go in there and get some desk time and be at a school. And then, of course, this is in response to recent concerns about school safety following the incident in Florida. And this was an innovative program announced yesterday. So I called up State Rep Mary Whiteford. She represents part of Allegan County. Turns out she was involved in the discussions that led up to the creation of this new sheriff's department program. I wanted to hear her perspective on it as a state lawmaker. So let's hear what she had to tell me. All right, we're talking to State Representative Mary Whiteford, Casco Township. So there's this new program to have sheriff's deputies provide security at schools periodically in Allegan County. I know you were part of the discussion that led to the creation of this. Can you tell us more?
Well, last week, I had a scheduled meeting with the superintendents in Allegan County, as well as the ISD superintendent. And that person is Bill Brown. He invited our sheriff, Frank Baker, as well as Chief Hoyer from the Allegan Police Department. Prosecutor Rob Kangas was there, and Assistant Prosecutor Myrene Koch. And then we had superintendents and school board members, and just the discussion about school safety came up. And I said, look, guys, we've got things going on at the federal level. I'm part of the budget process, which takes time. What can we do to take care of our children? And Sheriff Baker stood up. He goes, well, what about this idea? And have his troopers spend time in the schools when they have downtime or when they need to do paperwork and have an increased presence in the schools, which is a huge part of our population. And let's keep them safe during the day.
All right, so the Allegan County Sheriff's Department helping to provide some security at schools. This is an innovative program. I'm not aware of any other counties doing this.
Yeah.
Are you aware
of
it?
Well, I looked at them. I said, hey, guys, we have to have a solution, because that's why I got elected. I want to look for solutions. And here we are with a problem. What do you guys think we should do, men and women? What should we do? And that's when Sheriff Baker stood up and he had this idea. Hmm. It's wonderful. We can take care of our children. And like I said, one of the superintendents said, there's over 6,000 children in school at one time in our county. That's where everybody is. And Sheriff Baker said, well, that's a really good point. And he had already had a conversation with the Hopkins superintendent to have a desk set up where one of his troopers can stop in, do paperwork, have a presence, have a police car out in front. And with all the different schools and all the different troopers, it's just innovative, and it's taking care of our children. I said, you know, in Washington, D.C., they don't care about Allegan County kids the way we do. So what can we do?
Hmm.
I'm really pleased. It is very innovative, but it's so practical. We live in such silos of funding in our world. There's the education funding. There's the drains funding. There's roads funding. Well, every single dollar that goes to every single one is a taxpayer dollar. So how can we be effective and efficient and do the right thing by people? And I think it's really respecting the people of Allegan County.
Right, and Allegan County Sheriff Frank Banker says this won't cost any taxpayer money because the deputies will just sort of incorporate stopping by schools as part of their regular routines and even use some downtime there.
Yep, so it's good. And then the kids get to see officers more often and develop relationships. And the teachers can, and the principals. It's just a really positive thing. And there are children, so we need to do something about this and make them feel safe. Right now they don't feel safe. Parents are afraid sending their children to school. Well, if they know there's a police officer arm's length away or paying attention, I mean, it will make everybody feel so much more secure.
All right. We're talking to State Representative Mary Whiteford. You are part of this announcement of this school safety initiative in Allegan County. Now, I understand your background is as a nurse.
Yeah, so I've spent a lot of time addressing mental health needs because that is, you go back, every single one of the shootings, you have somebody who's mentally ill. So how do we address a person getting access to psychiatric care or a family member who's reaching out for their family for that person in a crisis? So just last week, I had a bill passed the House of Representatives that establishes a database for every single psychiatric hospital bed in the state. Because currently, when somebody goes to an emergency room in a crisis and they need to be admitted, the staff in that hospital, if there is no psychiatric bed available, just they start calling hospitals throughout the state until they find one that has an available bed. They even send our patients to other states because that's all they can do. So, and then a person goes without care in the emergency room, possibly for days. The ER staff, they're not trained to intervene. It's just very, very difficult right now. So we have passed the House with this bill that will establish a database where now if a doctor or nurse or social worker is trying to find placement in a psychiatric bed in Michigan, they can log on, they can see every available bed, and then they only call the hospitals that have those beds and see if there's a good fit, a good match for their patient. So that's one part of what I'm doing to try to find solutions for our major crisis. Such a crisis, isn't it? It's so multifaceted. Mm. And what we need to do to address it was a big focus of the Speaker of the House. He started up a CARES task force last summer and invited me to be a part of that. So that was one of the solutions that I addressed last summer, and I've been working on since then.
Right. You know, I've been following the CARES task force work because one of our reps from down here, Dave Pagel, was on there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
And, your legislation last week, your office sent out a press release. And So, you know, that's mental health, and now we see what the Sheriff's Department in Allegan is doing. Is this going to require any state resources that you're aware of?
Not at this point, no. I mean, because the school, they have their funds. We've got the Sheriff's Office. I know the Sheriff is considering a millage in Allegan County to increase the number of troopers that he can get on the road. Not troopers, but police officers he can get out in the communities. So this might be something in the future, but for now we have to do something, and we are. And Sheriff Baker has taken the lead on that, and I'm really, really happy that this is happening.
All right, that was State Representative Mary Whiteford of Casco Township, which is near South Haven, talking with us yesterday after Allegan County Sheriff Frank Baker announced his department is starting a new initiative aiming to improve school safety in Allegan County. Starting next week, you'll begin to see an increased presence of deputies in Allegan County schools. The Sheriff's Department command staff has been meeting with schools about this very issue. Representative Whiteford was in on some of those meetings. The sheriff says these meetings have been very productive. Some schools have even offered space for sheriff's deputies to work on police reports and other things like that during the day in an effort to assist. School administrators and officials have been excited, says the Sheriff's Department, about having deputies in their building again. The initiative is designed to, quote, facilitate opportunities for deputies to be in their buildings interacting with students and staff, as well as patrol cars being in and around the parking lots. Quote, we hope the increased law enforcement presence will create a safer environment and help relieve some of the concerns parents might be having regarding school safety. So that's what's going on in Allegan County. First time I've heard about an initiative quite like that in Michigan, so it's making some waves around the state, and I appreciate Representative Whiteford there talking with us about what they're doing to keep school buildings safe. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, and right now I thought we'd take a break. When we come back, We will get a box office preview for the weekend. I've got our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, coming in here. He and I will talk about what you can see at the cinema this weekend. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. We're just about done here for the week. So far in today's program, we chatted with Congressman Fred Upton. We also talked with State Representative Mary Whiteford about school security in Allegan County and a new plan to improve school security thanks to the Sheriff's Department there. And we learned about this summer's Berrien County Youth Fair. They've announced the lineup for this year. Now, because it is Friday, I thought we would end today's show by talking about your options at the cinema this weekend. I've got Jacob Holmes with me here. Jacob, thanks
Hello.
For coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, yeah. So this weekend, we've got some new options at our local theater.
That's the case every weekend. But yeah, we have quite a few new offerings this weekend.
Right. Four of them, I understand.
Yes. Four here being released locally.
Okay. Now, where do they even get the room for all these movies?
They push out the ones that are pretty much done selling.
All right, so I take it every day is gone now.
Yeah, that's gone. That only spent like 2 weeks. That was a quick one.
I kind of wanted to see that anyway. What are the new ones this week?
Well, our big new release this weekend is A Wrinkle in Time from Disney. This is an adaptation of the classic novel.
Mm-hmm.
I always struggle to try to describe the plot of this movie. So it's about a young girl who is kind of an outcast. Her father has gone missing. Her father's like this big important scientist, and he's gone missing, and that's had a pretty negative effect on her and her brother's life, and her mother as well. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they get like whisked away by these three beings.
Are they like witches or
no? Not. I mean. Depends on the version you're looking at.
Like good witches.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. They're called. One of them's called literally Mrs. Witch. She's played by Oprah Winfrey.
Okay.
Mrs. What's It, played by Reese Witherspoon, and Mrs. Who, played by Mindy Kaling.
All right.
So these children get kind of whisked away on this journey. They discover what's happened to their father, and it's kind of a journey to find her father and bring him back, and it's becomes this battle between good and basically your basic good and evil, light and darkness sort of thing. It's a very the core themes are very basic,
mm-hmm.
but everything around it gets kind of complex because they deal with like interdimensional travel and.
Okay. Now, I could swear when I was in the third grade or something, we read this book in a class.
Yeah. I didn't. I knew this book existed, but mm-hmm. we never like read it as a class or anything. So I didn't really. I read this book a couple months ago in preparation for this movie. And reading the book, honestly, I think the book's just okay.
Really?
With a few standout moments. But I still recommend it to younger readers as a gateway to science fiction, because it really is. There's some really cool ideas in it.
So what's the buzz on the new movie?
It's not getting good word from critics.
Uh-oh.
They're pretty split. The reviews are pretty split down the middle. Pretty much everybody you see will say the cast is good. For the most part. I hear the kids aren't so great.
Mm.
It looks gorgeous. This is directed by Ava DuVernay, who directed Selma a few years ago. That was up for a bunch of Oscars. This is her first big budget movie. It looks great.
Chris Pine plays
the father. I hear the main girl and Chris Pine are probably the best actors in the movie.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you got the three Mrs. characters. Those, they're good actresses.
Well, it is a Disney movie too, so you expect a certain level of quality with Disney, right?
Right. It is most certainly a competent film. I mean, I haven't seen. I'm going to see it this weekend, but it most certainly looks like a very competent film from and a lot of talent in front of and behind the camera.
Right.
It's just one of this reminds me a lot of that Great Gatsby movie that came out a few years ago with Leo DiCaprio
mm-hmm.
and Tobey Maguire and all them. they tried so hard in that movie. I don't know if you ever saw it.
I did, and it was sort of lackluster, I thought.
Well, yeah, it looked great. It was actually pretty faithful to the book in terms of plot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something about that book, and I think this one as well, you just can't, it just doesn't work as a movie. You can't get those themes.
Right. Well, you know, this probably will do well. It's Disney, and you know, I remember seeing the trailer for this for the first time. I kind of thought, "Wait, was that Mindy Kaling?" And then, "Wait a minute, was that Reese Witherspoon?"
Yeah.
Was that Oprah? And it was. So we've got
I'm surprised a lot of people are like surprised that Oprah's in this. Oprah's been in a lot of movies before.
She was in Selma, wasn't she?
No, she was a producer on that.
Okay, okay. Well, there you go. So, okay, we got A Wrinkle in Time. This will be the big one that opens this weekend, I imagine.
Right, although it very well could be that Black Panther still wins the weekend.
Sure, yeah. There's no beating
it's
the Black
Disney
Panther.
It's Disney versus Disney at the box office.
Either way, Disney wins
yep.
this weekend. So what's something else new this weekend?
Well, we've got a new action comedy in Gringo. Mm. This stars David Oyelowo, who was in Selma. Full
circle. Okay.
There's other names in this too. This is about a pharmaceutical rep, I believe,
yeah.
who goes on a business trip to Mexico to sell medicinal marijuana in a pill form, but gets in trouble with a drug cartel who doesn't want that to happen.
So he gets kidnapped.
Right. Yeah. And this movie stars. I'm just going off the top of my head. The cast. Charlize Theron is in this, I believe.
Indeed, she's the boss at the drug company.
All right.
And then we've got Joel Edgerton.
Yes, Joel Edgerton. His brother is the director of this movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. Joel Edgerton was just in Red Sparrow that came out last weekend.
Which is what I'm planning to see this weekend.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
And this one's not getting great buzz either. I haven't really paid much attention to this movie. I honestly don't think I've really gotten a trailer for it.
I may have walked in.
I showed up late to game night when I saw that movie. I may have walked in during the trailer for that.
You know, Gringo is the perfect movie to show a trailer for at game night, I think, because they're similar.
I feel like if I had seen a trailer for it at any movie, it would have been that. But again, I showed up to that movie a little late, and I may have walked in during the trailer for that.
I've gotten trailers for Gringo before, but it was kind of in one ear and out the other. It doesn't look like it's anything special to me. I could be wrong. Who knows? But so that's the new comedy this weekend, Gringo, if you want to see an American get kidnapped in Mexico. So what else is new this weekend?
Oh, boy. Well, we've got a movie that looks like it shouldn't be in theaters called The Hurricane Heist. And honestly, I kind of want to see this because of that.
The Hurricane Heist.
This movie's big selling point is that it's from the director of The Fast and the Furious, as in the first Fast and the Furious from like almost 20 years ago.
And that's billed as a reason to see it?
Yes, that is the big selling point of this movie. There are no names in this.
No, there's not. I am
thoroughly convinced that this is one of those movies that was meant to go straight to video, but some production company was like, hey, we've got the money to put this in theaters.
Why not? You know, and here's the plot description. A crew of thieves plans the ultimate heist to steal $600 million from the U.S. Treasury facility on the Gulf Coast of Alabama using a hurricane as their cover.
Not just a hurricane, a Category 5 hurricane.
It's a Category 5, and so it's the hurricane heist. I don't know. This could
movie
be...
looks dumb. So I had heard nothing about this movie until I was at another movie a couple weeks ago, and there's a standee, I don't know if it's still there, at Celebration for this. And as you walk by it, it plays the song Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Huh. So they had enough money to buy the rights to rock.
Yeah, it's in the trailer as well.
All right.
But that was the first time I'd seen anything of that movie. And I just stood there looking at this thing and I'm just like, that looks stupid and I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, I'm watching the trailer right here. I see a lot of gunplay. I see a lot of rain. I see a lot of explosions going on. And not one actor I recognize.
It just looks ridiculous.
All right, so that's Hurricane Heist. You never know. That could be dumb fun. And we got one more new film this weekend.
Yeah, The Strangers Pray at Night, which is a sequel to the now 10-year-old horror flick, The Strangers, which I didn't see when that came out, but I remember it coming out.
I don't remember if I saw The Strangers or not.
It may have been 10 years ago when it came out.
Right.
But I remember that movie getting somewhat decent buzz. I mean, I did not see this movie. It was kind of just, it came and went sort of thing.
Well, here's the description. The film follows a young couple who are terrorized by three masked assailants over the course of an evening at a remote summer home.
Is that the description of the first one or
yes,
the sequel?
That's the first one.
Okay.
And Liv Tyler was in it, apparently.
Oh, that's right. I'm starting to remember a little bit now.
And now we got the sequel.
Yeah, this one says, Mike and his wife Cindy take their son and daughter on a road trip that becomes their worst nightmare.
All right, well, I see Christina Hendricks is the star.
Okay.
So that's a name I recognize.
Yeah, well, I honestly don't have a whole lot of interest for this movie. This kind of came out of nowhere. Is this really a movie that anybody was asking for?
No, it wasn't, but I may actually see it just because it's about a family being terrorized by some psychopaths. One of those movies. So it is rated R.
All right, R-rated horror movie. That's becoming kind of rare. That's kind of gotten a comeback though. Real R-rated horror.
Yeah, they're more common now than they were for a few years there. But so that's our horror movie this weekend: Strangers Prey at Night, about
right,
a family
well,
terrorized
you,
at a campground.
You got no shortage of options.
All right,
I was struggling to remember some of these.
Do you have any recommendation for this weekend besides Black Panther?
I am going to see A Wrinkle in Time just to decide for myself, but it seems to me like that movie's going to be about as good as the book, which was just okay.
A Wrinkle in Time is kind of reminding me of Maleficent, just in terms
of... Oh, no, I hope it's not like Maleficent. I hated that movie.
So did I, but, you know, that was a disappointment. That movie was expected to be huge.
In terms of, like, Disney's live-action movies, they do kind of have this sort of homogenized look.
Right.
So, at this point, not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but, yeah, I can see where you're making that comparison.
Okay, so you're thinking about going to A Wrinkle in Time.
And The Hurricane Heist, ironically.
Right, and I may I'll be seeing a Red Sparrow as well as possibly the Strangers Prey at Night movie, even though I don't know why. So that's the weekend box office options. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for today's edition of Our Take. I thank you for tuning in. We should be back Monday, same time, same station. In the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your weekend.